Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today is an energetic and enthusiastic designer who loves pop culture, themed events, and festivals. She's probably most known, though, for being the creative director and event planner for Orlando's most popular market, Milk Mart. Please welcome Ashley Hollenbeck. How's it going, Ashley?
It's going great. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. I appreciate it. So obviously you're in my, during my lunch break. What's your go-to lunch sandwich? What do you usually go with?
Ooh, anything with a fat tomato on it.
Fat tomato, seasoned fat tomato.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the, everything but the bagel seasoning from Trader Joe's. I think that's really good. Yeah. Anything with a big juicy tomato on it, I'm in. BLTs, tomato sandwich.
Love it. Love it. And when you do a tomato sandwich, is it toasted bread or is it just regular white bread with like mayo and tomato? Or how do you usually have a tomato sandwich?
I like it a little toasted because then it doesn't get so soggy, you know? And probably put a slice of cheese on there.
Okay. I like that. So before we start talking about Milk Mart and everything like that, I its growth and everything that we've done, that you've done with it, I kind of wanted to start a little bit and find out a little bit more because I know you got involved with like Milk Mart in 2018 and all that, but I kind of wanted to know, you know, I don't really get too many opportunities to get to sit down and chat with you. So I kind of wanted to get a little bit more understanding about like your kind of your background and what you've done and kind of like so people can know a little bit more about you and then we can kind of evolve to the Milk Mart aspect of it. Because obviously I know like in college you started selling. I know you're obviously a designer. I know you started selling stickers is one of the things I read. And you still kind of do that and kind of do your art. You're also kind of like a community designer as well. So I kind of give me a little bit of a, obviously we're in a lunch break and we're going to go talk about mostly about Milk Mart and how, and all things like that. But I want people to know a little bit more about Ashley. So tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of your background, what you, how you started it and then kind of where it kind of led you to go and come to Orlando and all of that.
I started doing sticker stuff in college and that was, kind of my first foray into like local vending. I wasn't, locally vending my stickers, but I bought a vending machine when I was in college.
I love it.
Yeah. I have a couple of vending machines around town, that have my stickers in them and that's really fun. But
where do you have it? You might as well plug. I mean, what's going on?
Here? I have a machine at Sportstown. I have a machine at Whippoorwill. I have a machine at Framework Coffee. And then I actually have four machines at one arcade in Tarpon Springs. And like, they keep my whole sticker gig in business. Like people are crazy for stickers there. It's called Replay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I love stickers a lot. I loved the accessibility of stickers as art because they were like really cheap art to buy, you know? And that's when I started meeting up with other people who are like making stickers, making art prints and stuff like that. I actually tried to do a one-off like a art show event while I was still in college. I knew this old guy who owned a building downtown and he's just like, oh yeah, do whatever you want. And it was like not good, but it was very fun. We all enjoyed it. I moved here. I moved to Orlando because I wanted to work at the theme parks.
Where did you live before?
From North Carolina. Okay. Yeah. I went to school in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I grew up there like my whole life. But I wanted to move back to Orlando because I really loved themed entertainment. Like I'm not a Disney adult. I love theme parks just in general and like the shows and just kind of like the grandioseness of it all.
Yeah.
So I moved back here and I got a job at a design house making souvenir apparel and like merchandise and stuff like that for the theme parks. And that was really fun. I loved working with the characters and working with the theme parks. But the like actual design houses kind of had a lot of drama. And so I was not trying to be a part of that.
Got it.
And also like once you start working for a big corporation like that and then you're like, oh, this isn't like it feels cold, you know, like it's fun.
Feels corporate.
Yeah, it's corporate. You know, theme parks are fun, but then when you actually go work for Disney, you're like, oh, this is like not as fun as it is to go to Disney.
Not as magical.
Yeah, yeah. You lose a lot of magic when you're behind the scenes. So I started trying to do my own events under the name Party in the Parking Lot. And I think I did two of them and they were like just okay. And I didn't really know anybody. Like I had no connections to anything. My first one was at... God, my first one was either at Factor or at Falcon.
Okay.
And both of like, Melissa, the owner of Falcon Bar, like she was down to let me try it because she, because I went and hung out there all the time and she was like, oh yeah. And I used to have a vending machine there. She was like, oh yeah, you can try it here. And then at Factor, I had been helping them like try and host, they wanted to host some events over there. And so I was like, oh, I'll try and do this. And you know, they were really fun, but like not very great turnouts. And that's when Danny over at the Nook, he had been working on an event called the Milk District Market.
Yep.
And at the time he had been let know that he had to like change the name and stuff because the Main Street was forming and all that. And he was like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't have the time. You know, he's busy running his businesses and stuff. And I had just met him and he was like, hey, like you're trying to do an event thing. Like, do you want to rebrand this and do this one? And I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. And so I rebranded it and started trying to grow it. And then it like grew very quickly.
That was 2018, right?
Right.
Yep. 2018. And you had like, I think if I remember correctly, I wasn't one of them, but I think you had like what, like 30 vendors, one parking lot or something like that is where it was.
I think you were at like my second one. I have the map still. I'm
pretty sure I was in the beginning.
And
yes.
Bless you for it. Like, cause they were not good.
So let's first, I want to talk about that part of it. Like how, so the one, I love the fact that you actually tried to create like your own event and doing that. What did you learn from the first two events that you did at Falcon and Factor? And then when you went to go do the first Milk Mart, what are some things that you kind of learned along the way on that? Cause like I will say that doing a market, like it's one of those things where it's like, what, like, I feel like you, I'll be honest with you. I think you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like there's nothing, like sometimes you, like, I feel like as the person coordinating, it's like a hard job to be able to coordinate, find the right people, the right thing, the right mix, try to get all the advertising, all those things. So I'm kind of curious, like, what are some things you learned along the way from like doing the first two to like, you know, when you first started? And you can think about this and let it marinate while we keep talking. But like, I want you to think, I definitely want to know kind of like what your recipe of success has been, because from where you started in 2018 to where you are now doing it like every quarter and having over 200 vendors, you know, that's a lot. And it's like taking up the whole Milk District now. So tell people, so that's kind of how it evolved. Then Danny basically kind of was like, hey, I want you to rebrand it. And you're like, I'm going to, because I think it was called, what was it called before?
It was the Milk District Market.
The Milk District Market, yeah. And then you decided you're like, I'm going to call it the Milk Mart.
Right. We, at the time, like, because the Milk District was becoming a Main Street, like, I think they became a Main Street in 2017 mm-hmm. or 2018, because they were claiming the name The Milk District. There was just like, there had to be, I don't know if it was like
a deviation
some,
or yeah, something.
Yeah, it just, so there needed to be some sort of like separation. Yeah. It was like either that has to become the Milk District's event or
got it.
Like it needs to be rebranded. And Danny just offered it to me instead of the Milk District, I guess.
No, that makes total sense. That makes total sense to kind of go that route. What, it's grown so much. So like, tell, like, give people a little bit of an idea of like how that process is, because you went from one parking lot. Now it's like literally,
it's like seven parking lots.
Yeah. It's super duper like crazy large. What do you think has been the reason for success for you on this growth, and what have you learned along the way? Cause now that you've been doing it now for what, 5 years? 6 years?
Yeah.
You know, what has been the evolution? Like, what have you learned along the way as you've been building up to these? Because obviously you started at one, now you're at four, and then it's like now every year there's four of them going on.
Yeah. So when I did that one in college, it was like, so I worked for a magazine while I was in college. I was the promotions director. It was like our college's art magazine. it was a really fun job. I was in charge of planning like the release parties. And like when you advertise those, like that magazine had been around for like 125 years. It already had kind of like a cult following within the school. You put a flyer up on the school's bulletin board, you get a great turnout, right? And then kind of similarly, when I did that pop-up market in college, I was like, oh yeah, I'll just like put this flyer up on the school's bulletin board and like people will come. And they did, you know, like, and then when I came here and I was like, oh, I'll just like put a flyer up on the wall and people will come. And it turns out that is not how it works in the real world. People won't just come to your event because they see one flyer, especially when you have like no Instagram following, no nothing. So that was kind of like, that was my biggest realization. There was actually a videographer, who came to like the December 2018 Milk Mart or something like that. Her name is Nicolin. Her, business is The Gold Mine. She's fantastic. But she came of her own volition and like made a vlog. She like went to a couple different events that weekend and Milk Mart was one of them. And she like tagged Milk Mart and I was like, oh my God, this video is so cool. Like, this is how I'm going to advertise Milk Mart. I'm going to make these cool videos. And so for a while I had her coming to every event and she was getting all this amazing footage and like making these incredible videos. And so for me, I think that was the big turning point for the event, was kind of realizing like, you got to get that content. You got to have those photographers out. You got to have the videographers out and you have to have like, you have to have real ones come out. I can do a lot of things just like winging it, but I am not a photographer at all. So I think another part of the novelty of Milk Mart is the size now. It was kind of a task getting all the businesses on board in the beginning. We've tried to do large events in other areas and a lot of business owners have been burned. You know, they're like, oh yeah, someone tried to do an event here and just like left the parking lot full of garbage or like blocked my door or, you know, all that stuff.
How did you get the buy-in from the business owners as you started kind of growing and saying, hey, I want to take over more of your parking lots so I can, and more of your areas to be able to kind of like this is going to be good for you type of thing?
It took a lot of convincing. So it was easy to get the Nook on board, obviously, because like, you know, Danny at the Nook started it and they were like, yeah, we're down. Easy to get Atoll on board because like Fallon and like the people at Atoll, I don't know if I should be naming dropping this many people.
Yeah, that's fine. It's small businesses. We're promoting all of them.
Okay,
cool. It's all good. This is what I do. I want people to know other places. If they never heard of any of these places, I definitely want them to go visit them.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So right like Atoll owns the parking lot next to the Nook and they were down, you know, they're a retail. They're like the only retail over there. And so, you know, retail bringing retail in. She was pretty stoked for that.
Yeah.
Sportstown had different owners at the time that needed a little bit of convincing. And their stipulation was actually that they wouldn't participate unless I partnered with the Milk District.
Okay.
And so that's when I linked up with Zach, who was the director at the time. And I was like, hey, do you want to like help me do this thing? And then it could be really good for the district. And he goes, oh yeah, like I'll help you. And he helped me a lot because after that, so then we got Sportstown on board. And then we had so many people trying to like come, like so many vendors wanted to be a part of the event. And as it started like gaining some traction, the other bars in the neighborhood wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so we were like, okay, let's try. And actually, I think it was the December 2020 event because during COVID, the city had like rules that you had to follow as an outdoor event. It was like 80% of your event had to be outdoors, which was easy. We're all parking lots, but also like your walkways had to be 12 feet wide and you had to put 6 feet between each tent. And so when we did that, we were like just doing Nook, Atoll and Sportstown, we were like, okay, that's like 10 vendors. That's nothing. Yeah. So we were like, let's see if we can get Sideward on board and like put some people over there. And so that's when we got Sideward on board. And then when we didn't have to separate the tents anymore, we were like, well, let's just keep trying to do this. And then I think the next expansion would have been Milk House when they opened.
Yeah.
The owners over there were like,
yeah, we want this.
We want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did, we expanded over there. And then once we did that, Whiskey Lou's was like, hey, like,
what about us?
Yeah. Put some stuff in our lot. And I was like, okay, that was, I'm always worried whenever we expanded, I'm like, is this too much? Like, yeah. Is this too much for any one person to walk the entirety in one day? And like, but in the, like earlier in Milk Mart's growth, like there was a lot of talk about, are we stretching the guest's dollar too thin? Like if you have 100 vendors, yeah, if you have 100 vendors and 100 guests and each guest is going to spend a dollar, you know, but we actually did. There was like, there's like an analytics group. I don't remember what they're called, but they'll, sorry, they don't get a name drop, they like, they can see how many cell phones were in an area for like a date or a time range. And we had them look at Milk Mart last December and it was like 3,500 people, which is crazy because I had always just been like, oh yeah, there's like 700 people coming here. And then we did that analytics thing and I was like, oh my God, like there's a lot of people coming here.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, I guess that never really ended up being a problem. People come to Milk Mart to spend some money, and anyone listening to this who comes to Milk Mart and spends money, like, bless you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I love you. Trust me. I love you.
Yeah.
And we all, every single small business loves you. So let's talk a little bit about, since as you grow, you have obviously you're getting more and more people applying to it.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of curious. I kind of want to get your feedback. I always love to ask people who are especially having to select small businesses to kind of become vendors at their events. What are some things that you are constantly looking at? I always feel like there's got to be certain pet peeves that you have of like, why do you not like do this, or like vendor, like I want you to kind of give like a vendor an idea. If you're a small business listening and you're like never done a market or you're thinking about doing a market, I always love to be able to talk to people like you, Ashley, because like you can at least tell folks like, this is what I'm expecting from you, or this is what we're looking for. Like give me some knowledge.
Okay. So my biggest pet peeve, all you vendors out there, I have very specific instructions about submitting your website. If your website doesn't work, you are automatically disqualified. And like, I have that bold text on there that's like, do not, like, you can, so on the Google form, you can make it data validate that it is a URL.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it'll still let you put like N/A. It like sees that as a URL.
Interesting.
And so I have this big bold text that's like, if you put NA, like you are automatically disqualified. Like, do not do that. And I still have people do it, or I'll have people put like google.com. And I'm like, dude, or, and then they'll put in their description, like, I don't have a website. And I'm you have something.
Okay, I was like, give me an Instagram at least.
Yeah, Instagram. I recommend a link tree because like some people will put their Etsy and then their Etsy's on vacation and then they don't have a link to their Instagram. And so I'm like, okay, I can't see your stuff. So.
No, that makes sense.
So like Instagram or a link tree are the best options. And like, you know, maybe someone is just like full fine arts and they don't have Instagram, they don't have Facebook, they don't have anything. I'm like, can you just like make like a Dropbox folder and like that could like, it says you can do like a Google Drive or something.
Let me see what you're selling.
Yeah. Yeah. So like make sure that we can see what you're selling.
That makes sense.
But then like, you know, we have 247 10 by 10 spaces to fill. So like a truck would take up two of those, right? So I'm, you know, anywhere from like 230 to 250 vendors is kind of where we fall for the event. And then we get like, I think I closed the October applications at 800 applications.
Wow.
And we're at like 700 for December right now. And I leave it open like pretty close to the event so that people can hop on that wait list. And also because if I take it off the website, I get 20 emails a day like, hey, where's the application? And I'm like, I'll put it back up. So my big thing right now is trying to rotate vendors, you know, like an easy example would be like, you know, you have 10 candle vendors, that, you know, are all unique in their own way, but like you can only have so many candles at an event. And so I think we try and do like 3 candle vendors per event, and we try to rotate them each event. So like if you did the October event, your chances of doing the December event are, you know, slimmer. And so that's why I encourage people like apply to every single event, because we just have like a rotation that we have to go through now with vendors. Something else that I actually look for is, do you have good product photography? Because we rely pretty heavily on our vendors to like keep our page healthy. You know, we require vendors to submit their own photography for their features. And this is really good for our Instagram page's algorithm, because we're not taking like screenshots and stuff. Like,
yeah.
The algorithm knows all. They know if you took a screenshot and it's not like a high quality photo and stuff like that. It knows if you've already posted the image like on your page before and all this stuff. So when I'm, you know, processing the applications, I'm like also kind of looking for who's got really good photography. And I know that like product photography can be really hard for some people. Like not everyone has like great equipment and stuff like that. We actually hosted a free product photography workshop earlier this year. I think it was in August, where vendors could come, and like we had 3 professional photographers who just like took a slew of pictures of everyone's stuff. And we're going to try and do that more.
I love that. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I bet. I definitely would love to do that, because I'm always looking to up any way I can change up pictures or at least have a different view of my stuff.
Yeah. We partnered with the Orlando Photography Studio, which is like the next building over from Milk Mart.
Yeah.
And then had like our photographers come out. Harry Aaron was there, and Christian Vasquez, who does most of the like photography that you see on the page of the event.
Yeah.
It's either him or our other photographer, Boof. Like they're incredible and they capture the vibe of the event so well. Sorry, I'm just going to gush about them.
I love it. So let's talk about this. So now when you tell me 240, 230 vendors, how do you go about, like, do you have to basically kind of put like, do you have like a spreadsheet? I'm always kind of wondering on how you strategically do this. Do you have like a spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet basically says like, I don't know, let's just say Deli Fresh Threads, t-shirts, you know what I mean? Like, and you have like candle maker, you know, and like, so that way, you know, like artists, you know, because obviously the hardest part of all is where you strategically put everybody. So you're not putting, you know, like two candle people next to each other, or 2 jewelry people next to each other, or an artist and like something else. Cause then that way it's like almost everyone's competing. And it also kind of, I'm assuming for you, at least I look at it as when you're walking, as if you're walking, you want something to kind of have like almost like a different or a buildup of like where it kind of goes and it all kind of mixes. So like, how do you balance that? Because there, and then obviously there's also factors that some people were like, I want to be at this in this area and I want to be there. So like, how do you kind of balance that and figure it out? Like, have you mastered that? Is that one of the hardest aspects besides maneuvering and dealing with all the different people? Like, what, I'm always kind of intrigued by that. Cause like, I'm amazed. Like to me, that's like, I think would be the hardest, is the kind of like, how do you orchestrate it? The whole thing.
Making the map is interesting. I feel very lucky that my background is in branding. So I'm able, like, I do it in Illustrator, which gives me, you know, full freedom to do whatever I want with the map. So on the application, vendors do have to pick one category for themselves. I actually used to let vendors pick more than one, but then you'd have a candle vendor that, like, made a t-shirt of their brand, say that they also made t-shirts. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? You don't make t-shirts, you make candles. So now you have to pick one, mm-hmm. the one that fits you best. But I feel like we have some pretty solid categories. We've been refining them recently for our like vendor list that we post online. But for making the map, what I'll actually do is first I drop all my pick a spots in there. So vendors have the option to pay an extra fee to pick their own spot. That fee basically is a processing fee because we have to, you know, intake all those applications and place them on the map and then like get the payment and all that stuff. And then we also, you know, day of, anyone who's vended Milk Mart knows day of, sometimes there's a car parked in the lot, or like sometimes things don't fit quite as well, or like maybe a food truck is 25 feet instead of 20 feet. And so things get shifted around. But when you have the pick a spot, you have the guarantee that like you will not, you will not be moved. So that's good for people. Like when I, that was like a highly requested thing that I didn't really want to do because I didn't want it to seem like favoritism or like a pay to play or an exclusive thing. And so when I finally caved and I did it, you know, the immediate response, because I didn't use to mark them on the map when I sent the map out. And so people were like, I never get put in the main parking lot because they all get bought. And so then I was like, no, that's not what's happening. And I started showing people like so people then are you buying
color coded.
Yeah, people are buying corner spots. They want corner spots. And then some people just really like being next to Sideward. They feel like it fits their vibe better, you know, or they want to be over by the Nook because it fits their vibe better. So, or they know like where the shade is, or this spot has like a backyard, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what gets bought. And I think people are, now that I've started leaving it on the map, I think people are like, oh, okay, that's fine. For everyone else, once those pick a spots are in there, I sort it by category. And I literally just like, I don't even look at who it is. It's sorted by category. I'm like, all right, here's my three candle vendors. You go in this lot, you go in this lot, you go in this lot, done. And I'm like, okay, here's my five soap vendors. You go in this lot, you go in this lot, you go, done. And so it truly is like super random. The last ones that I'll place are usually the like original art people, because you can put original art next to each other and it's totally fine. They're usually different enough.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, vintage and soap and candles, jewelry you wouldn't want to put next to each other necessarily.
Yeah. What do you think has been your recipe for success on how this is kind of, I mean, grown? Because I mean, you are the market. Like if in Orlando, if there's going to be an Orlando market, like you're the one that everyone wants to be in, hence 800 applicants for 240 spots.
Also thank you everyone for being so kind about Milk Mart, and just like, I am so grateful for what it has become. And actually you just reminded me something that I was really excited about when I first started doing Milk Mart. One of the first ones I did, I had some like cute anime girls apply, and I was like, oh my God, like I was like, I'm going to make a magical girl row. Like, this is going to be so fun, because I felt like whenever I was going to events before, it was like, and y'all, I'm not trying to hate on candles and soap, but you guys know what I'm saying. You're like, candles, soap, reseller, ceramics. And I love ceramics, but I think you guys know what I'm saying. It's like those reseller cork bags, and it's like the same, or like, yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. And mostly I'm talking about like the resellers, and you can tell it's a reseller, and I'm just not about that. But so when these like cute anime girls applied, I was like, hell yeah, like I'm going to put all of them next to each other. It's going to be so cute. And I did that. And like, I think that including them was a huge turning point for Milk Mart, because I don't think that a lot of other events were including like specifically like anime art, like convention art. And so then I was like, oh, we're getting like market foot traffic that would go to like, you know, normal markets looking for soap, looking for ceramics, looking for that like home style market vibe. And now they're being exposed to like convention artists. And I was like, where would you even buy stuff like that? Where would you discover artists like that if you weren't, one, already a part of that scene? And like, you can't trust Etsy anymore. You go on Etsy and like you order something and then 3 weeks later you get a package from DHL and you're like, wait a minute, that was supposed to come from like an artist on Etsy. And so I started to get really excited about including like pop culture artists and convention artists and making like their world accessible to people who like probably have never thought about going to MegaCon or like a convention in their whole life. And then like on the flip side of that, you're starting to bring like convention goers who go to conventions and shop primarily like that style of art. And now they're getting to see like, you know, not that they never got to see this before, but like just kind of trying to blend like a convention with like a farmer's market. We get so many, like I have someone who's been kind of shadowing me to help me like take on some of the tasks of Milk Mart, and they're very much in the convention scene, and they'll be going through the applications and be like, oh my God, I can't believe this person applied. Like we had someone travel in from Georgia and stuff. And it was just like, that's really exciting for me, is getting people starting to go like, oh, like we'll drive down and make a weekend of it. And it'd be cool if Milk Mart could be a whole weekend long, but that would be very hard.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's gotta be a tough one to be able to pull off, if you did it. And if you did, I probably would be like, I think it would be cool to do if you did it. Like, if anything, it would be like a summer thing, and I think it would have to be like, at least I look at it as a summer thing indoors.
I'm so scheming an indoors event.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I look at it. I look at it as like, if you're gonna do something like that, it's got to be, because that's the hardest part is like the summer. Like this is the time where everyone, obviously in this fall season. September, October, November, December, like these are the months that everyone, at least in Florida, we're all kind of like, I'm jumping. Like, that's like, I'm going to sell. This is when I'm selling. I'm going to do as many good markets as possible. Because during the summer, I'm like, I'm going to get rained on and it's going to be miserable.
Hot.
And it's hot.
So hot.
Correct. That's like, those are the big ones. So like, and that's always the tough one with it. How did you come up with the idea to do four? And I love the fact that, because one of the things I read about you that you do is like, you love theming things, which makes very sense because your events are themed, you know, it's like the spooky soiree, there's, you know, and a lot of Lazy Sundays, which I like this is the newest one coming up for the holidays, Lazy Sunday, you know, holiday market, there's like Lazy Lovers, you know, birthday bash, things like that. And I love that idea of it. How do you, from what I've noticed and what you're very good at compared to others, is that you kind of already know like your placement and dates, like you kind of have that. Like how's that? Like, what's the thought process? And like, how do you know, like, hey, it's always going to be, because I think last time we talked, you literally rattled. You're like, yeah, this is what it is. And this is when this one is. And I'm like, so where did that come about that you're like, hey, this is an idea. And then tell people a little bit about that thought process and when those things are.
Yeah. So pre-COVID, we were just kind of doing them willy-nilly. The one that got canceled because of COVID would have been so silly. It was called Litmus Eve. It was the day before 420, happened to be a Sunday. And so we were going to do like, it's Christmas Eve, but it's Litmus Eve, you know? And like that one got canceled because of COVID. And so later that year, when we were trying to do one again, and all the events had started to come back, you know? And so it wasn't just us. Like there were plenty of outdoor events that were trying to come back, and we certainly weren't the first one. But I sat down with Zach, because the tough part about Milk Mart in the beginning was getting every business on board, getting, you know, five or so brick and mortar businesses to agree on the same day that they'll close their parking lot and they'll let us do this thing, can be very tricky. And so, and then the other thing was, again, like Milk Mart was like a no-name event back then, and we did not want to compete with like Grandma Party or Zombietoberfest or any of that stuff. So Zach and I sat down and we were like looking at when all these other events were happening. Like, I think Grandma Party is usually the second weekend in December. And then Zombietoberfest was like the weekend before Halloween or something like that. And so we swung like as far in the opposite direction as we could. And I was like, okay, we're just going to do the first weekend in October. Like everyone's always ready to start celebrating Halloween, like it, as soon as possible. No one's going to be upset about an earlier October thing. And especially because, like, obviously we love it when people dress up and come to Milk Mart for the spooky soiree, but, like, you know, it's kind of nice to also be like, you know, this one's early enough in the season. Like, we can just go have a spooky fun time. It doesn't have to be like this big thing. It can just be like a kickoff festival. And I think that that's ended up working out really well for us now. And then same thing with the December one. That one was a little scarier because we were like, okay, there's tons of holiday events. Let's do the weekend before Christmas and, like, find out, you know? And I think the first time we did that, it was like the 19th. And we were, our concern was, are people traveling? Are they spending time with family? Like, all this stuff. But my thought process was, we live in a warm state. If anyone's traveling to visit family, they're coming to visit their family in Florida. Like, they're probably trying to get away from the cold. And also, like, when I was growing up, my family, a couple times on Thanksgiving night, like, our mall would open at midnight. Mm-hmm. And we would, we were like, ooh, let's, like, go to the mall at midnight. Yeah. It's so fun. And it's like, just because people are spending time with family doesn't mean that they don't want to go do something. And, you know.
I also think we're all procrastinators. So,
yeah. You
know, who doesn't want to get that last minute? Not to mention, with as many vendors as they are, you're like, I can knock out my Christmas pretty quick and hit a bunch of different people.
Yeah. And so, like, really great for Christmas shopping, and then really great as, like, a Christmas activity if your family's in town. Like, let's go to Milk Mart and get out of the house. Yeah. You know, like, it's an all ages event. It's really fun. It's, and then, like, going back to my fear where I was like, wow, is this getting too big? Now people, I think, really enjoy how big it is, because I know sometimes I'll go to an event and I'll see every vendor and have a drink, and I've only been there for, like, you know, 30 minutes, which is not, you know, I'm not trying to, like, hate on other events. I'm just saying it's nice when you can, like, spend the whole day somewhere and, like, walk around and, like, bar hop and stuff like that. So I think that we had that going for us too, just in terms of, like, what made us pop off.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. And the fact that you have, like, you've, I mean, obviously as that's gone, you've increased budget. Like, you have, like, the giant cow that everyone, like, loves, and you have all the banners now, just because obviously as it's expanding, you need more people to be able to know, hey, this is where it's at. I need you to come here. I know, like, the first time when you had, like, on the side word Stasio side, you had to, like, have, you had, which, and at first everyone was like, my God, this is a trek. I have to drive, walk all the way over. And then obviously then it worked out very easily, because then you had, when you did the Milk House side of it, then it was like, oh, well, now it just all kind of bleeds in. And then now that you have, like, the Hoods Up area where you sometimes can do the last few times,
The Sportstown guys paved the Bull and Bush parking lot, like, bless them.
So, I mean, because of all those things, like, you make it where it's like, you get to go from one end and literally walk, you know, and that's kind of the big thing, is, like, it's great for, I mean, a perfect example, I know the last one we did, it torrentially downpoured and I was going to be like, I'm screwed. I'm like, what's going to happen here? I mean, And I was amazed, because I looked later on, I was like, my God, I'm like, these people are coming out in the rain drenched in, like, they're just with umbrellas, and everyone came out and just was shopping.
Was so excited about that. So, like, oh my God, like, that whole week we're, like, watching the weather, and I try not to, like, get too obsessive about the weather, because there's nothing you can do. And also the weather in Florida is, like, unhinged. Who knows what's going to happen next? But so we're watching the weather, and, like, you know, Our no refund policy because of the weather is because we already spent all the money. Like, we don't get our, like, rental fees back from some of these places. Obviously, I can't get the money back from the ads. We spent a lot of money on ads. You know, I still, luckily we've not had to, like, cancel the event before, but, like, all of the volunteers get a monetary gift for their time and stuff like that. And, like, they receive that gift whether or not the event happens, because they took work off or whatever. So we were just like, crap. I hope that this rain goes away. And then it did not go away. And, like, I get out there at, like, 8 a.m. because I have to see if there's any cars parked. And I'm like running around. I have what I thought was a rain jacket on, and it was not a rain jacket. I'm soaking wet. And I was like, okay, my like last hope here is that, you know, okay, you know how there are people who really like going to the theme parks when it's raining?
Yeah, because they like, know no one's there.
No one's there. Well, yeah, no one's there, but they're also like, I'm going to wear my rain boots. I've got a poncho. Yep. Like, I've got this cute umbrella that I'm going to show off and stuff. And I was like, fingers crossed those people show up.
We saw a lot of those people. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, like, oh, and the dogs and like little rain boots and stuff. So yeah, cute. So yeah, I was shocked. And also very grateful for all the vendors who stuck it out, because, you know, all the vendors could have just been like, no, I'm going to leave. And it was really nice. There were a handful of vendors who were like, we would not have set up in the rain for any other event.
I agree. So, I agree. Yeah. I'm grateful for that. it's definitely a tough one, but I think a lot of them know and understand now, like, it literally drives people. A lot of people will come and shop, and they know what to expect, and they know that if it's a Milk Mart event, it's going to be it's going to be killer, and it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of products.
Yay.
So and that's one of the things that I love. That's one of the reasons why I love doing all your events. I think it's you just never know. You never know what it is. And that's always kind of a tough one as well when it comes to a vendor. You just never know where it kind of goes. I know that you have I've always been kind of curious on some of these things, because I've never done an event, and I have no intentions of doing an event, but like, there's a lot of different things that go. I already asked you about my curiosity about how you kind of figure out things, but like that, but like, there's gotta be, I mean, the beauty of it is you're doing it in parking lots, so you don't need to worry about shutting down roads. You don't need to kind of have police or whatever, and that kind of aspect of it. But I mean, I'm assuming you have to, like, how did you even know about, even when you first started doing like the smaller ones, like, do you have to have like certain insurances? Do you have to have like certain, I'm assuming there's all these different things. It's not like you can just be like, hey, I want to do this. It's not like I'm doing it in my garage where I'm like my driveway where I have like three or my four of my friends. Like, you have hundreds of people. So there's gotta be a lot of different things. Like, did you know what to do with that? Or like, did someone help you? Did you talk to the city milk district help you with it when it came to something like that? Like,
yeah,
was it?
I did not know how to do any of that. I was just like, oh yeah, I'll just like, as long as I have permission from the parking lot owner, like, it'll probably be fine. And honestly, in the beginning, when it's just like one or two parking lots, from my understanding, nobody quote me on this. If the parking lot owner is cool with it, you can kind of like fall under their insurance that they have, right? Got it. But once you start occupying like six different parking lots, you can't be like, you know, the Nook presents, because their insurance isn't going to cover Milk House, you Correct. So let me take a minute to gush about Zach, who was the one who really like showed me how to do all of that stuff. I'm so grateful for like the guidance that he gave me early on, and for his support like the entire time that he was with the Milk District, like just so invaluable. Yeah. And I think he's smart as fuck. He's the best. But yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, sorry.
No, he's great. I mean, it definitely during his time. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, one of the things that helped with Milk Mart, he was very instrumental when it came to just understanding like, hey, it's like if I can get the whole village to kind of be in together and do things together, we can do events. Like, he did Sandwich Week. He did all these different things. Yeah. Like, he always was trying to figure out ways to kind of make that Milk District like a family, and then obviously milk it for everything that it's worth. You know, you like that?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He like, I think one of the reasons that like our partnership worked so well was he kind of wanted to be like, hey, like, I'm gonna like show you how to do this and you have my support, but like, I want you to handle it, because he had so many other things like running the Sandwich Week and trying to get the Milky Way bar crawl, and like, he started Krampus Fest and all this stuff. And so like, I think that he probably saw a lot of value there and just like, she can handle this one, and then I don't have to worry about it.
It's one thing less, but it also helps my part of my job, which is like, showcasing
makes
the Milk
District.
Makes his
businesses happy and
correct,
stuff.
Correct. Yeah. I totally get that. What I know, you've been like you freelance community designer and is whatnot during the time. So like, what is it that you do or what are you working on? Cause obviously you work for, you know, you spend a lot of time trying to get everything coordinated and all that stuff, but I know this isn't the only thing Milk District. Why is correct? Or is Milk District like the Milk Mart's your bread and butter year round? Or are you also doing side, I mean, from what I've read, you do a lot of different design work and different things for other people. So I'm always kind of curious, like on how you kind of like balance the hustle as, cause you got to, you know, you have the event, but then you also have like, oh, I got to be able to pay my bills and do other things as well, you know, throughout the course of the year as well.
Yeah. Milk Mart is like probably like 60% of my work that I do. I also do contract work for other events. Yeah. So like Light Up Soto was on December 3rd. I'm working with the Soto director. Her name is Misty. She's also wonderful to do her Light Up Soto event. So what I do in that situation is I coordinate the vendors. So like I run the applications, I collect the payments and stuff like that. And then she has actually opted, and I think vendors will be excited to hear this. They already know it if they're accepted to the event. But she has opted to actually hire the Moo Crew, which is the volunteer team that sets up Milk Mart, to load in the vendors. Because last year I just coordinated the vendors, but then I was setting up Krampus Fest with my volunteers. And so even though I like did a rundown, like I met with the volunteers at Light Up and I was like, here's how you guys are going to like load in the vendors. We still heard like a lot of stress for the vendors and a lot of stress for the volunteers. Yeah. So this year, it'll actually be the Moo Crew loading them in, which I'm really excited about because I would love to. I know a lot of my team, like they obviously all have day jobs. Working four times a year for me is not their sure. full-time yeah. job, unfortunately. And so I'm excited to like maybe be able to do more contract event work and literally just like coordinate the vendors and then load them in. Right. Yeah,
it makes sense. Use your expertise, what you've already created. You've already created a foundation and shows people, you know, hey, these are my results, what I can do.
Yeah.
I can help do it to your events and I just be in the behind the scenes and I can
exactly. help do that. And so it's like, if you have an event that like, where like the focus is not the vendors and you have other things to focus on. So that's kind of what was happening with Rockin' Robinson is like, they're trying to get these bands and these stages and all this stuff. And they're like, can you handle the vendors? Cause we just do not have the time. And I was like, of course.
Yeah.
So I do that. And then I do freelance design work.
You don't have to go.
I dabble. Yeah.
No, and I like that.
I like doing a lot of different things. I don't, when I was doing like the theme park merchandise and stuff, I felt like I was falling into this like very repetitive, you know, it technically is a different project every day. Like today I'm doing, I don't know, like draw a whale for SeaWorld. And I'm like, okay. And then the next day it's like, okay, we need like a new pass holder shirt. And I'm like, okay. But it's all like, you have 2 hours to do it. You know, it has to be under this many colors. Like here's the very strict style guide and the brand book and all this stuff. And you know, and then the buyers at the theme parks don't get the jokes. Like I did an entire Nintendo pitch and I made and I know that this already exists, right? But I was going to make it for Universal and it was like Yoshi's Story, but it was like the Jurassic Park logo, you know? Nice. And I showed it to them and they're like, who is that? And I'm like, what do you mean? Who is that? It's Yoshi. And so just like, okay, sorry, I'm not trying to hate on like theme parks.
The funny part is I'm pretty sure it would work now though. Like I'm pretty sure like right now they'd be like, oh, this is a great idea. Where are those designs Ashley had?
Yeah.
A few years ago,
exactly.
She's ahead of her time.
Yeah. And I'm like, sorry, I took them all with me when I like left. Yeah.
I love it. What do you do? So I'll have a few more before we wrap up lunch for our lunch break, but like, what do you do for fun?
Work. No, I really just do work a lot. I'm playing Zelda right now.
Okay.
The Tears of the Kingdom game.
Okay.
That's a great way to get me to stop working. I really enjoy cooking dinner. I don't usually eat during the day because I'm working. And so at night I'll make like this giant fancy dinner for myself, which is a lot
Heck
of fun
yeah.
and like very meditative.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I like to go to the beach. I don't know, normal girl stuff.
Hey, I'm just always kind of curious what people do on their free time or what they do for entertainment, because I think it's always an interesting aspect of it because it can consume you and yeah. it can be nonstop. So I definitely understand that, especially now at this time of year, you know, with the holidays, it's definitely, this is like kind of like everything starts kind of wrapping up and peaking up. So I totally understand that. What's your advice? What advice would you give someone that's wanting to start something?
Definitely. And I know that this is like tired and also probably trademarked. Just do it.
Yeah.
Like just go for it, because I have a lot of vendors who are very, very new who will reach out to me and they'll be like, hey, and they're literally just selling stickers, you know, like they're not preparing food or anything or like, beauty products or anything like that. And they're like, hey, like, do I need an LLC and do I need like special licensing and like, do I have to get my own insurance and all this stuff? And like, you know, my advice would be to, when you're just starting out, like maybe don't worry too much about all that stuff. Like make sure that you're keeping track of your finances. Like if you're running stuff through Square, do your taxes, you know, I'm not,
yep.
Hold on. Just a note, I want to make a tax plug at the end of this if I can. I have a great tax lady.
Oh my God.
I know. I have an amazing
tax lady. I don't have sponsors, you know. These people can all sponsor this episode if they like.
She'll do your taxes.
But go on. So yeah, no, yeah, I think
just go for it and like get started. You know, and if you're gonna try and do an event, the people that you're trying to impress are your vendors. The people that you want to make happy are your vendors, because if your vendors aren't happy, they won't come back. And then pretty soon you won't have any vendors. And if you don't have vendors, you don't have an event. If you have happy vendors, then that's like the whole vibe of your event, right? Yeah. People show up, everyone looks happy. No one had a crappy load-in experience, like all that, you know, it's like, that's how you get the vibes.
What? I'm kind of curious, since you walk around and you obviously see this, because obviously you can have an amazing product, you could have amazing everything, but when it comes to the day of the event being outside, do you have any recommendations or things that you say you would like recommend to someone like that's looking to sell, or maybe some things that you're like, wow, this captures my eye? Because you can have like, you know, amazing photography, amazing, all these things to get in your foot in the door into the market. But then once you're out in the market and you're in a tent or a table and people are walking, do you see anything? Is there anything that kind of captures your eye, or tips or advice that you would give someone that's vending, that you would be like, hey, I really think you should be able to do, these are some of the things that you should have or be able to do. So when to capture someone's eye or capture their attention, because for me, I realize when I do an event, sometimes, and especially, and I'll be honest, in a large event, depending on where it is, if there's not a lot of foot traffic, you only have one or two shots for that person to get their attention. If not,
you don't want to scare them.
And you don't want to scare them. So it's like a mixture of things. So I'm kind of curious, like, what are you, have you seen anything or realize any of these things that maybe you can share and give advice to someone who's doing markets that you've realized like, wow, they really do this really well, or these are some things that I would recommend that I think would be help you be successful selling at a market, whether it's Milk Mart or any market, you know, to be able to grab people's attention and things like that.
I'm a big fan of handmade signage. Like printed banners are obviously totally fine also. But I think handmade signs are really fun.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that like you handmade them. Maybe you have a vendor friend who like you could trade services with or something like that. So definitely some cute signage and clearly marked prices, because I think a lot of guests like, they'll want to pass through your booth and take a look at something, like maybe something catches their eye. They walk in and they look at it and there's not a price on it. A lot of times they'll just put it down and leave, because once you ask what the price is, it almost feels like, for me, like if I walk into someone's booth and I have to ask the price, I'm obviously showing interest in buying it. And so then if I don't buy it, like I feel a little guilty. Like And especially, you know, if it's, if I pick it up, I'm like, oh, if this is $20, I'll buy it. And then they're like, it's $80. And then I'm like, ooh, you know, and then like, I feel bad because I'm not trying to be like,
yeah,
you know, like it's, yeah, you know, you determine what your time is worth. Correct. And like all that stuff. But like, that's just not what my budget was for this piece of art. Yeah. And then like, that also like, it gets awkward. So like clearly marked prices and like a cute sign and, you know, we all know your setup is off a chain. It's wonderful.
I appreciate it. Yeah. And ironically, I don't have prices.
You don't?
I don't have prices.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't. I don't. And I think I do it sometimes just because I want to have that conversation. I also try to make it where I'm not trying to be the pushy sales guy.
Right.
Like that's really my big thing. And like, I also kind of look and then I don't have a problem telling them like, hey, this is what it is. Like one for this, two for this.
Right.
I should kind of probably do something to that effect. I do agree with the idea of signage. I think some form of signage, it doesn't matter, just to have your name. So it's not like just some random tent and you go in to be able to see,
like,
have
where
something.
Am I?
Yeah. Like have something, whether even if it's like a handmade sign or a handmade design and it's like on a little plaque or something or a little paper thing that you can at least see and be like, oh, okay, this is who this person is. One big one that I tell a lot of people, which is my favorite and I live by it cause it's super cheap. We're lazy. I just use the excuse. We're all lazy and no one wants to bend down on a low table. Mm-hmm. Buy bed risers and rise up your tables, those extra 4 inches, because then people don't have to go, you know, bend down.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the other big one that I kind of use is the fact that you want to have people want to support you. So if they like you and they want to support you, you got to have, I would say kind of like have like that kind of like, you know, kind of like a low entry level product,
right, yeah,
you know, and then have like a middle product and then have like that. So that way you can kind of be like, oh, you want to support me? You can buy a sticker. You know what I mean? Like,
you love this shirt, but you don't have t-shirt money today. Here's the same art on the sticker.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And kind of go that route. And then you kind of grab them that way. And then you're like, oh, you want a pin? Okay. That's like the next level.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to do this. And then like, so then you have something, you know, and that's kind of the big one is like, I always like, you know, if you're going to it's okay to start small. It's okay you can make a gangbuster killing just doing pins and stickers.
Yeah.
As long as you have cool stuff. I mean, that's like really the big thing is the cool stuff. You know,
I should ask you this question. I'm not a vendor.
Ahead,
don't ask me that question here. I'll ask you the question now. You can cut into the beginning. No. Hey, Biggie, like what would you say is like the best thing for your booth?
No, but the reason I ask you is because you see a lot of them and I figured that you at least are walking around. So there's gotta be some things that do capture your attention. And that see, like in my world, I don't. Like I'm stuck. Like as soon as that event starts.
So I'll also say you can like tell if someone's not stoked to be there. Like if someone doesn't look like they're having a good day already,
Amen.
You probably don't want to go in there.
Amen.
And that goes back to what I was saying. Like, you know, if you're trying to start an event, if your vendors have a crummy load-in experience and then they're all just like already pissed off by the time the event starts. Yeah.
it's definitely tough. I mean, it is one of those things. I make it a valid point. Like when I'm there, I know when I go to an event and to sell, my job is to be at the event to sell. I'm not looking at my phone. I may use my phone to try to take some pictures of product to tell people I'm here in advertising. And then with that, let's go with that topic. So obviously you take advantage, like you mentioned earlier in the episode and you kind of in our conversation that obviously you want people to be able to provide you photos and images so you can actually advertise. How important is it? And how did you, and I see your eyes because it's gotta be, because I look at it this way. Like I sometimes laugh when I see some vendors, they don't do like, and I'm not going to call any vendor out because there's enough vendors out there.
Suddenly you don't want to name drop anymore.
Yeah. I don't name drop negatively, but I will say this. And a lot of times also because the vendors that my frienders, we all do the same thing. We all understand it is a community that shares. It's not just because I'm paying for this and I'm expecting you to help advertise it and advertise maybe me or advertise other people that go at the market. The job also falls onto us, the vendor, to advertise and tell people, hey, everybody, I'm coming. I'm here. I'm going to be here. I checked into the event here. Like, how difficult is that? Because do you feel that that is something that is like, you know, because that's a two-way road. Like, we both have to work together to kind of push we want as many people as possible on that, at that event. Like I don't, yeah, you know, if you don't buy it by me, that's fine. But I want you to buy my friend's stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how important is that? And then do you feel that like that's something that you get enough of from the community when it comes to that?
Dude, whenever I post the videos for each event for the first time, like easily we'll get like 30 to 40 shares immediately. And that's something that I think Milk Mart like uniquely has and specifically benefits from, is because we have over 200 vendors. If half of them post, you've got 100 people talking about the event, right?
Correct.
Versus like if an event only has like 30 vendors, is half people post, you got 15 people talking about it. And that's like, you know, you guys do a great job helping me push this event and I really appreciate it.
No, I love it. I think it's super important. I think all of us, it's kind of like a team effort type of thing. So tell people a little bit about like where they can find you, where they can find like the website. Plug the events coming up and all of that. Even though I know my events are evergreen, you've kind of already kind of given us a preview, but you know, where holidays are approaching, especially when you listen to this, we have an event on December
17th.
Yeah. I always mess up a date on you. I always somehow mess it up, even though I knew it was the 17th.
I got you.
I know. So December 17th is going to be the holiday market. It's going to be amazing. Just like every other market is, but definitely by all means, give a plug of where they can follow you so they can learn more about you, as well as also Milk Mart and everything else.
Yeah. I do have an Instagram. I'm not going to try and spell it. I'm sure you'll tag me. It's kind of wacky.
Yeah, it'll be on the show notes just so you know. But
yeah. So you can follow me personally on Instagram if you want. But Milk Mart has its own Instagram, Milk Mart Orlando, and then milkmartorlando.com. All the applications are always up there. I try to open the applications like 8 months in advance. And then I think I already said this, but like the event is usually booked 3 months in advance. So get your applications in. The next event is our holiday market on December 17th, followed by our February market, which
the Lazy Lover.
Yeah, which we normally do the second Sunday, but that's the Super Bowl. And Sideward's always closed on the Super Bowl. So then we tried to do it the first Sunday, which is the date that has been listed, February 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out MegaCon is on that weekend.
Oh.
And I know when I've been beat. Like, I'm not trying to go up against MegaCon.
MegaCon's a tough one.
Yeah, so we're actually going to move it to the weekend after Valentine's Day, February 18th, I think it is.
Okay.
And then after that, it'll be May 26th.
You know, it's not a bad idea because it's called Lazy Lover.
So I'm
lazy. I didn't buy anything. But guess what? We're going to go shopping on the 18th and we're going to shop.
Yeah, I forgot to plan a date. So we'll go do this.
We'll go do this.
Yeah. So after you guys get chastised for not planning a date, be like, no, I did plan a date. It's Milk Mart. It's after Valentine's Day.
I love it.
I, you know, I'm here for the people.
No, I love that. Ashley, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm glad I got to, you know, we got a chance to talk. Like I said, I take advantage of these moments because we don't usually get to interact. It's usually like hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm running
and it's like,
by.
And you, yeah. And then you just kind of like, hey, everything okay? Good. Okay, great. And then you're just kind of going. So I do appreciate the time. I think it's, what you're doing is a great job. I think it's, you know, there needs to be more markets, obviously, but that's always kind of the hard part, right? Is like trying to balance it and figure out like, where can I do it? I love how you've grown this. And I'm, you know, super excited about your success for this because I obviously benefit quite a bit from it. You know, in the sense of me and my friends, we all get to kind of, you know, other frienders get to actually sell in it. And I think it's just great. It's a great way to showcase the Milk District, but I think it's also a great way to show how amazing and how creative we have of, you know, being in Orlando and all the different vendors and of food and everything else that we have. So, I definitely appreciate you.
I appreciate you. And thank you for the kind words.
No, you're very welcome. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you so much to Ashley Hollenbeck for being on and for representing Milk Mart. And if obviously I want to see you at the event. If you don't live in Orlando, definitely check it out. I think it's, you know, even just to check out the different vendors and different people, it's worth a follow. I think she does an amazing job at showcasing all the different small vendors and different businesses that are there. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe, tell your friends, share it. I mean, let's grow this thing. I mean, I'm trying to represent as many small businesses as I can. And obviously, if you want to support me
check out my brand, Deli Fresh Threads. Sandwich selfies, take a selfie with the cow. I don't really care. I just want some contact. Just interact with me. Till next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion. Thanks, everyone.